Psalm 119, verse 54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Singing the word, thy statutes have been my songs. This is the sixth verse in this Sion section, the Hebrew letter, commencing all eight verses in this section. Songs is the first word then in the Hebrew. Songs have been to me thy statutes in the house of my sojournings. The psalmist then is a singer. All people sing something or other. And he's a singer, and he's not making this up when he says this. He actually does sing God's word. He's not just thinking of a word that begins with that Hebrew letter and then just puts it down on the paper. No, he's not just thinking of the words as such. He's thinking of his experience and his relationship to God's word and what he can say. And songs is the word that comes to his mind under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's a part of his experience in enjoying God's word. Singing it. We know he's a singer, not just an occasional singer either, not just because of this verse, but because he's always saying this. It's quite amazing, actually, how often he tells it, that he sings. And I wonder, could any of us say that? Songs. We sing the word regularly. We sing the word often. I sing all the time. Could any of us say that? I think we're well behind the psalmist here. I trust maybe we can all learn something this morning from this verse of scripture, preacher included. So David is a singer. And he sings by himself. We're not talking about so much congregational singing. This is a very personal psalm. He's in the room alone with the Lord. My songs. He sings on his own. He sings the word of God by himself on occasions. Psalm 59, verse 17, unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. Psalm 61, verse 8, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever. Psalm 71, verse 22 and 23, I will also praise thee with the psaltery. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou most holy one of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. Psalm 101, verse 1, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Psalm 144, verse 9, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. You'll notice that in all of these references, he does not say we. He says I. There are we psalms. There are psalms for the congregational singing, but there are also those psalms for the personal singing. I will sing. And David is a singer. That emphasis on private personal singing, and we'll come back to that again. My main emphasis is mainly personal, private singing life. I think we can all improve on that. I hope we will improve on that. Well then, what does he sing when he talks about songs? What are his songs? Well, he tells us, there's no uncertainty about that. Thy statutes, thy word. I sing the word of God. I sing the truths of God. I sing the thoughts of God that he has given to us in his word. Believers are singers, or at least they ought to be singers, and they ought to have the song of Zion as their song. He doesn't sing the world's songs. My songs are thy statutes. Those are the songs that I sing, he says to the Lord. We read there in Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So God's people in the New Testament are called to sing to God as well, the spiritual songs, to sing the word. Why sing, we may ask? What good is there in it for us? What benefit does it bring? What does it achieve? That's a good question. We might then discover what we're losing out on if we don't sing. And it might induce us to sing more. Well, let me suggest several reasons why we ought to sing. And I trust that these reasons are not far removed from the text itself, but may be implied in it, and I believe that they are implied in it. Let me suggest, first of all, that singing the words of God and singing the truths of God and making the Christian doctrines our songs, I suggest that it's good because it pleases God. It pleases the Lord when you sing his word. The Lord simply delights in it. Why is David telling the Lord this at all? Why does he even bring it up? Why does he say to God, and he's telling the truth when he tells the Lord this, but why does he tell the Lord this? What is he achieving, or what is he saying? He's saying, Lord, I love your word. I sing your word. Your word is the matter of my singing. And he knows that's pleasing the Lord. He knows the Lord delights to hear that. Lord, I sing thy word. Now, of course, we can't tell the Lord that if we don't do that. But David does do that. And he's able to tell the Lord that. And he knows that it pleases him. People who sing are cheery. And the Lord, just as he loves a cheerful giver, so he loves a cheerful singer. He does. The Lord just delights in his people singing. Not the worldly songs of Babylon, but the godly songs of Zion. What does the Bible say? O Lord, thou art holy. Thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. What does that mean? That he inhabits the praises of Israel. Well, you know your house, you inhabit your house, you love your house. You just are so cheery in your house. You're at home in your house. There's nowhere you feel better than in your house. And the Lord's house is the songs of his people, his singing people. So he is really delighting when his people sing. He loves to hear them sing. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, he says. Someone has put it this way. God respects me when I work, but he loves me when I sing. I think that's true. You know, you like to hear someone singing, maybe in the house, and you know, oh, they're cheery today. They're in good form today. And the Lord thinks something like that whenever he is beside his people and they start singing. It glorifies him. It delights him. He just loves it. So I think that's a good reason. And I think that's the reason why David is telling the Lord. He wants to please the Lord. He wants to give the Lord joy. He wants to give him delight. I'm singing your word, Lord. I'm just enjoying your word. I'm delighting in your word. I'm happy with you, Lord. And I'm happy with your word. And I'm happy with your truth. And it's seen in my song life. So I think that's a good reason to sing. But secondly, I think also that it is a marvelous testimony. A marvelous testimony of a man or a woman's joy in the Lord and their joy in God's word. It's a powerful testimony. It's marvelous that we're delighting in the things of God. It's a witness that we're delighting in the Lord. It's a witness. Whenever you hear someone singing, as I said, you know they're cheerful and joyful. And if they're singing about the Lord and the things of God and the spiritual things in God's word, you just know they're delighting in the Savior. They're delighting in the Christian religion. They're glad that they're saved. They're glad that they have the Bible. They're glad that they know the Lord and His truth. And that's a good witness. It's hardly a better witness, really, than to have this cheerfulness that has to be released in song, in tune. Now, I know that, as I said, it's generally a private thing, and it's a bit different today for us because we have CDs and we have technology, we have MP3, and there's the accompaniment, and we can listen to it that way, and that helps us. And that's good. We're not saying that there's anything wrong with that. That's what I'm saying, to use those things as part of our song, part of our singing the word, that accompaniment, and join in and just sing with that. I include that. So you can play the hymns when you're doing the dishes, and you can, you know, listen to the psalm singing when you're walking the dog, and your heart's cheery with the singing. That's how we do it now. But of course, in Bible days, they didn't have MP3 and CDs and all of that. They just had to do it themselves. And they did. It was all cultures do that. All cultures are singers. But we ought to sing too on our own. I think we ought to endeavour to sing the Psalms and to sing God's word. The ancients, we have to remember, very probably they chanted the text. They didn't all own writings and scriptures the way we do today. They had to listen to it being read, and it was often read with a kind of a chant to help memory. We like meter, of course. We like to sing meter. We like the Psalms in meter. We have the Scottish Psalter in meter and our hymns in meter. But we can learn to chant as well the text of God's word. That can still be done today. But I'm saying it's a good witness whenever we're engaging in all these aspects of singing the word of God. It's a good testimony, a good witness. Well, you might say, well, how is it a good witness if you're doing it in private and you don't want anybody to hear you singing? You know, you may be walking out in the country and nobody hears you, or you know the house is empty and nobody hears you, or maybe just your spouse or whatever, in the car and nobody hears you or whatever. Well, you can say, well, how can it be a witness? How can it be a witness? Well, I would say several things to that. I would say, first of all, it'll be a witness to you. It'll be a witness to you. It's part of His Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's no greater witness than the song in your heart to the Lord, the song that loves His word. That's a great witness to you yourself. That's a sign of genuineness. And we all want the witness of the Spirit, don't we? It's not some magical thing floating about in the air. It's as you use God's word that you get the witness and testimony of the Spirit. Part of it is in singing. We have to examine ourselves at times, brethren and sisters. We have to be always checking our hearts. You know, you can get so busy in God's work and service that you lose out with the Lord. And you lose out in your communion. You lose out in your affections to God. You can be so busy externally and physically and visibly and yet have a cold, distant heart from your Savior. And it can happen. And we can go on and serve without the witness. Without this witness. But it's not very joyful. It's not ideal. We want the witness. We want the witness of the Spirit. We want the joy of the Lord. We want the witness that we're delighting in God and that it is well with our souls. And the Spirit and singing and the Word all go together. They all go together. This is why Paul says in Colossians, about singing the word, singing the spiritual songs, being filled with the Spirit. He connects it all in the same thinking. So it's a good witness to ourselves that I genuinely love the Lord and I genuinely love his word because I have a tune for it in my heart. And then secondly, I would say it's a good witness to the angels and to the devils, because we must never forget that some of them hear. And angels and devils don't really know our hearts. But I think they must get a fair idea when they hear us singing. I think they know who God's people are when they hear them singing. You know Cowper's saying, William Cowper, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon their knees. And that's a good witness when you pray. But I think it might no less cause hell to tremble whenever they see the weakest saint join and delighting in the Lord and in his word. I think that equally causes them to tremble. A genuine saint who has joy in God. And so it's a witness to them. But then thirdly, it might surprise you who might hear you when you sing. Maybe someone in a field, you're out in the country, you don't think anybody's there, and someone in a field, and he's sitting behind a hedge having a sandwich or something. You don't know who hears you. Or maybe you're singing in your hotel room and somebody in the corridor going past you. You don't know who hears you. Or maybe a relative or a family member in another room. Or maybe someone over the brow of the hill. We've heard stories of that, someone singing and then getting over the brow of the hill, and there'd been someone there had been listening to them all the while and had heard them and even waited to talk to them. You don't know who hears you when you have the joy of the Lord in your heart and it's coming out. It's surprising how singing travels, actually. Many a one has been helped by singing, perhaps even been saved by hearing someone singing, and there are many stories in church history in relation to that. Perhaps the most famous of all is the story concerning Augustine, that man who knew so much about the gospel, but who didn't want to give up his lusts, who prayed to God, Lord, I want to give up my lusts and my sins, but not yet, not yet. And there's many like him. They want to give them up, but not yet. But one day he was out in the garden and he heard the singing of children. Because that's what they did in those days. Children sung, everybody sung. You couldn't go and press the button of the radio. So they sung. They got their amusement and their pleasure by that way. And he heard the children singing. He didn't even know where they were. He couldn't pinpoint where they were gathering. But he heard the song. It was blowing in the wind. As they chanted, take up and read. Take up and read. And he thought it was a message from God in the song to his soul. And he had some books at hand, the epistles of Paul, the apostle. And he took up one and turned to Romans, and you know the story. God worked in his heart. He was powerfully converted. And you remember the powerful testimony of Paul and Silas as they were singing at midnight in the jail in Philippi. And the story of another man who's on his dying bed and he hears the children out in the street singing about the Lord Jesus. And he's able at last to die in peace, because by the song the gospel enters into his soul. Singing is a witness in ways that we could never imagine. As well as glorifying God and witnessing to ourselves and others, it helps us. It benefits us. Singing is medicine. It is therapeutic. It cheers us up. Listening and participating in Christian music can just change the whole atmosphere, the whole emotional life of a child of God. There is some connection between singing and feelings. Now, feelings aren't always the most important thing. We can't put the cart before the horse. And the feelings are the cart. But they are important. We like feelings. We like good feelings. We like pleasant feelings. We like nice feelings. And there's something about singing that helps the feelings. Singing has a power, you know. It is very powerful. The devil knows that too. That's why there are so many worldly songs, so many satanic songs, so many wicked songs. The devil knows the power of singing. The way the poetry, the rhythm vibrates through a human heart. There's something in it. We can't always put it into words and define it. But we all know it by experience. Singing is almost part of the human race, part of humanity. Singing is natural to the human race, but wherever you go, whatever culture, I don't think there's any culture that hasn't got singing ingrained into it. It accompanies us. It helps us through life, singing. It takes away the boredom and the monotony. I'm just speaking about singing in general now, not singing the sacred songs specifically at the moment. Singing releases the tensions. Singing eases the burdens. Singing makes us feel better. And I'm not just talking about believers. I'm talking about mankind generally. Humanity has found singing benefits. Singing helps. And the psalmist, you know, he's only human. He likes to feel good, just like everybody else. We all want to feel good. We want to be cheered and we want to be cheerful. And singing aids that. And that is why singing is so popular in the human race. It's like eating. It's something essential. Something you have to have, something you need. We need to feel good. In the previous verse, the psalmist has been speaking about horrible feelings he's been having. Because he says there in verse 53, horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Here's another word that begins with this Hebrew letter, Zion. Horror. He's thought about the horror. Horror makes you feel so bad. Horror is the sad, tempestuous feelings, the depressing feelings, even angry emotions, even terrifying emotions. The psalmist, he lives in a world of the wicked. He lives in a world of the ungodly. He sees what the ungodly do. He sees all this wickedness around him. It depresses him. Horror. That's the word. Depressing feelings, even angry feelings, low feelings, they take hold of me. They grab and grip me. It's hard to go through that world. How do you get through that world? How do you survive in that world, in that wilderness all around you? How do you survive in that? How does the psalmist cope with that? How does he maintain a life of joy? How can he help himself so as not to despair, not to sink under the feelings of horror? What does he do in his pilgrimage? He sings. This is why he comes on to this next thought. My songs in a horrible world, in my pilgrimage life, my songs are your word. So singing strengthens him. Singing deals with the depressing feelings. The step from horror to songs is not a random path. These are not random verses. We've seen that very often. There is a logical path throughout. The path from horror to songs is a rational, sensible, even spiritual path. We need singing in this world. We need the songs of Zion in this world.
could carry us through.
You know, the slaves in the United States, before abolition, one of the tools whereby they coped with their trial and bondage was singing. The slaves were great singers. The reason why is because it maintained their spirits, their drooping, despairing spirits, heavier than the chains that bound them at night. Singing enabled them to endure that. And the slaves, many of them, as you know, they were exiles. They were exiles from their homes. And David feels himself to be an exile. What does he say here? Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. In the house of my travelings. You see, he hasn't got a permanent dwelling place. He's not at home. He's not in heaven. He's in this wicked world where he sees all these horrible things. He's traveling through. He has a house of pilgrimage. Now, he's not referring to the temple. This isn't about public singing, worship in the temple or the tabernacle. He's not talking about that. This is his own personal house. It's not even his house he lives in. You know, number 5, High Street, Jerusalem, whatever. It's not even his house that he lives in that he's talking about. He's talking about his body. He's talking about himself as a saint going through this wicked world. He sees all these horrible things out the windows of his house. What's he doing inside his house as it goes through all of this in life? He's a stranger in the earth. He's a pilgrim and a sojourner. As all his fathers were, Abraham, Isaac, they're all the same. We are the same as the people of God. We're sojourners in life. This is a depressing place. We're not going to be here forever, and we know it, and we're glad of it too. We have the songs in the house of my pilgrimage. This is an interesting way of putting it. He's an exile, a foreigner, and he needs God's gift of singing the word to be able to get through. So he's talking about the benefits of singing in his own life. An early church father, Chrysostom, he said, learn to sing psalms. Then you will see pleasure indeed. Those who have learned to sing with the psalms are easily filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's right. He is right. Just as they who sing ungodly songs are filled with the spirit of wickedness and the spirit of this world, so they who sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs are filled with the spirit of the Lord. He's right. Those old church fathers, they knew a thing or two. And we would do well to go back and read them again. It's a fact that when the Christian martyrs went to their deaths, they usually sung along the journey. There are so many testimonies of that. The last journey they sung. They were chained. They didn't have hymn books. They didn't have psalters. Why did they do that? It wasn't just about witnessing. They were going to witness whenever they went up on a puff of smoke. That was their witness. But they're singing the psalms to the last journey was for themselves. Very often it was Psalm 51. They were going to meet the Lord. They needed the word. They needed the comfort. They needed the strength. And they sung the psalms. And that was how the Holy Spirit strengthened them. That's how they become filled with the Spirit. As they mounted the platform, with all fear having departed in the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, they didn't just learn to sing it the last mile. They had been singing for many years like that. At such a time, where do you get strength if you don't know the hymns? Where do you get strength if you don't know the Psalms? If you have not sung them in your pilgrimage, how can you get the strength for them in the last man? And so David does not say, I sing them at the last step of the journey. He says, they have been my songs in the whole pilgrimage of it. We're going to need the word when we step down into the cold valley of Jordan's River. That is why we must use our time now, why we have health and liberty, and sing the word and sing the truths of Zion into our heart, and the Holy Spirit will accompany it. But there's another good reason, and it's particularly pertinent that David brings this up in this section. The singing the word is an aid to remember the word, to memorize the word. We have seen that a key theme in this psalm, this section, is a psalm of remembrance. He uses the word remember, the verb, three times. We pointed that out already. So remembrance is a key idea, key theme. And songs and remembrance go together. Songs aid remembrance. Songs are a tool for remembrance. That's a fact. We all know that by experience. Just start off the song with a word or two and nearly the whole rest can flow. You might forget the order of the verses, but you can pretty much get there because there's something about singing, getting into the grain of our mind and heart. In song, we keep the connections very often, the links between phrases and verses. Some children have learned their alphabet by song, and some children learn the memory verse by song. David wants to get God's word into his mind and heart. Verse 52, he says, I remembered thy judgments of old. Now, this is why the ancients were better at memorization than we are. It's how they could learn their Psalter practically word for word. And many of the prophets too by heart. They did not read. They chanted and they heard the text chanted. The rhythm helped get it into the heart and mind and soul. Silent reading is a pretty new thing, really, in our generation, a couple of generations past. Centuries ago, and certainly 2,000 years ago, silent reading was unheard of. It was always read out loud. But it's not just about remembering the text, you see. It's about feeling its power, feeling the word. And singing helps you feel the word. There is something remarkable about it. Now, if you practice listening to the singing of psalms or something like that, and compare it to your reading of the psalms, it's remarkable how sometimes it can be very different. A song makes you feel a thought. And that's really what we want from God's word. We want to feel the word. We want to feel God's thought in his word. And singing, David finds, helps that. And that is the reason why he says this, and all these other reasons besides. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. And so may the Lord help us to follow in his steps.